Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
So, there's just something about love songs, man. Love songs. They either you love them because it makes you feel good, you hate them because it makes you feel sad, but there's power in love songs. That's why we're calling this series Love Songs, because we're starting a series today where we're going to dive into love. And not just like love your neighbor, like romantic love. Because we think God has a lot to say about romantic love. And he says a lot through songs. I believe we are wired to enjoy songs. We're wired for songs to communicate things to us. It's why, see if anybody's going to be bold today, it's why we've all adopted the practice of using mixtapes to express our love for people. Anybody want to admit they've ever made a mixtape for someone they loved? Oh, y'all are a bunch of liars. Yeah. First service was like, yeah! Y'all are like, nope, not us. I don't believe you. But I used to make mixtapes. I made several mixtapes for my bride when I was trying to woo her, which if you've seen her, you've seen me, you know it took a lot of work. A lot of convincing, a lot of effort, but it was worth it for her to convince. No, I'm just kidding. No, please. But no, mixtapes are difficult. If you ever made a mixtape, you know you kind of have to put some effort into it because you're using someone else's words, someone else's poetry to express how you feel. But I think, I've been thinking about this, and this isn't, you're going to think it's a stretch, but it's not a stretch. I've been thinking about it. Like, I believe we are wired for mixtapes. We're wired for this idea of different people coming together to communicate one story. And the reason I think we're wired that way is, as I was getting ready for this series, I was thinking about the Bible. I was thinking about this gift that God's given to us. And it occurred to me, the Bible is a mixtape. That's really what it is. The Bible consists of 66 different books. It was written by 40 different authors over the course of about 1,500 to 2,000 years. It's written in different languages. Some of it is narrative. Some of it is poetry. Some of it is, you know, talks about what's going to happen in the future. I mean, it's all the different things. But it all comes together to tell one amazing story, which is this. The God of the universe loves you. And he loves you so much that he was willing to do whatever it took so that he could have a relationship with you, so that he could make your life the best it could possibly be. That's the story of the Bible. That's the story of this mixtape that God has given to us. And within that mixtape, there's a book. And this book is itself a book of songs. It's a book of poems. It's a book of stories that communicate one truth, and it's God's eternal plan for love. For romantic love, for lasting love. And so what we're going to do today is that for the next 5 weeks is we are going to dive into this book. We are going to dive into this book, which really itself, like I said, is a mixtape. It's a collection of love songs. And it was written by this guy named Solomon. Solomon, if you're familiar with a guy named David, David was the guy who killed Goliath. Maybe you've heard of that story, David and Goliath story. David became the king of Israel. He had a son was Solomon. Solomon was the king of Israel after David. And we believe Solomon is one of the wisest people who ever lived. And Solomon wrote this book called the Book of Proverbs. You ever read Proverbs or heard Proverbs, all these wise sayings. But he also wrote this book that we call the Song of Solomon. Or Song of Songs. And it's a collection of different songs all about one thing. All about his relationship with his wife. Now, if you're a biblical scholar, if you know anything, it's actually Solomon's first wife. Solomon kind of went crazy later in life, but we ain't going to worry about that. Nobody's perfect, right? We're going to worry about the good part when he wrote down God's truth. This is how I know I can do what I do. God uses imperfect people to communicate a perfect truth. Thank God. And so, but Solomon recorded some episodes and some incidents from the life of he and his wife. And what we believe is that God wanted Solomon to record those, and they've been preserved for thousands of years because we can read them now. And we know God is designed for love and for marriage. So we're starting today with a message series called Love Songs. And if you're going to be traveling over the next few weeks, or if some of you are not going to be here, you can go right here to this website, wellspringchurch.tv/lovesongs, and you can catch up. You can do whatever you need to do. Also, one other thing. If during this series, I believe this is going to happen. I believe during this series, you're going to have some questions. During this series, there's going to be some things maybe you need some help with. Maybe you'd like to reach out. You can do that on this website. We have three ways you can do that, okay? You can do this on your connection card, but also on this website. Because I know some people, you don't want to put it on a connection card. We have three ways. If you hear stuff, you're like, man, I would love to talk to somebody some more. I really love some help with this area. You don't understand what my husband and I are going through, what my wife and I are going through. It's really, really difficult. You can reach out, and we have three levels. Number one is prayer. If you want us as a church, we have a prayer team, to pray for you. If you want somebody who can pray for you, we would love to pray for you. Number two is a circle. If you say, man, I just want to talk to someone who's gone through what I've gone through and who's on the other side. It's what I said a couple weeks ago. In this church our size, there is no one in this church going through something that someone else in this church hasn't already defeated, hasn't already achieved victory over through Jesus. And so we can pray for you. We can connect you to a circle. And then number three, this is a bad word to some people, but it shouldn't be. We can connect you to a counselor. My wife and I have seen counselors. Everybody we know has seen counselors. There is nothing wrong with going to someone who is gifted by God, and who has a faith in Jesus, and who can biblically point you to some biblical truths for your marriage. And so if you need prayer, if you need a circle, or if you would love to talk to a counselor, if you need counseling, we would love to help connect you with that. You can do all that right there on that website. But like I said, today we're starting this brand new series. It's called Love Songs. We're really, really excited about it. I need to give you a little bit of background on Song of Solomon before we jump in, because it may be a little crazy. Like I said, I'm calling it a song, but it was really, it's poetry. It's all written in poetry. And if you're like me, that kind of makes your head hurt when you read too much poetry, and I understand that. But there's a reason it's written in poetry, and the reason it's written in poetry is because the book is incredibly graphic. And when I say graphic, I mean graphic. It's talking about love within the confines of marriage, and it's talking about expressions of love within the confines of marriage. And if you don't know where I'm going, you're in trouble. There is a reason that we've rated this series PG-12. It's because you don't want your elementary students in here, because they will ask you questions you aren't ready to answer with your elementary students. This series is designed for middle school and high school students and above, because your middle school and high school students are definitely being fed messages about intimacy and sex, and we just want to make sure they're being fed the truth. We want to make sure they hear God's plan and God's design for it, and so that's kind of how we've designed this series. But the reason it's written in poetry is because the Bible is designed to be read by everybody, and so to protect the innocent ears and innocent eyes of young people who would read the Bible so that they don't fully understand what's happening. It's kind of like, remember when your kids were really little and you wanted to talk about something in front of them with your spouse, and so you would just spell. You would spell the words, and then they got old and they're like, I can spell, Dad. And you're like, ah, whatever. That's right, you are 15 years old. Of course you can spell. But really, that's why it's written in poetry. It was God's way of spelling. So that for the innocent ears who weren't ready for it, they could just read it and take it on its face. But for those who were ready, they would fully understand what it was talking about. And so I'm ready to dive in today, but before I do, I always like to give this disclaimer when we start a series about, really it's about marriage, it's about love between a husband and a wife. It's about God's design for this thing. And I always like to give this disclaimer, because I know for some of you in the room, like, you're not married. Or you were married and the marriage is gone, or you don't have any desire to be married, or you're single and you're like, man, marriage is so far off. So how does this apply to me? And I always have to say, man, when we talk about this kind of stuff, this series is for everyone. It is for everyone in this room. If you have a great marriage, it can always get better. If your marriage is broken, God can heal it. You are sitting in a room with people who sat where you sat, thought their marriage was over, and God healed it. If you're single today, this is an amazing opportunity to begin to build up some muscles and some boundaries and some barriers and some protections in your life to say, this is the type of person I will date. This is the type of person I won't date. This person doesn't match my standards, so I'm breaking up with them. And one of the things you're going to hear me say a lot is we should not settle for anything less than God's absolute best for our life. We just shouldn't do it. And this is the best. In fact, as we jump into the book, the very first thing we see is Solomon himself. And this is what he says in verse 1. He says, this is Solomon's Song of Songs, more wonderful than any other. He's saying, look, I've written lots of things. I've recorded lots of wisdom to me. This is the best. This is the most important. This is the best thing I've ever done. And one of the reasons we're calling it a mixtape is because it really doesn't even go in chronological order. It kind of jumps around. Over the next 5 weeks, we're gonna look at this couple. We're gonna see them dating. We're gonna see them on their wedding day. We're gonna see them on their wedding night. We're gonna see them have a fight. But today, we're actually gonna start the way the book starts is just right in the middle of marriage, just in the middle of a regular, normal day in the life of a married couple. And the book starts with the perfect picture. It is the perfect ideal of what love can look like when God is at the center and when we do things the way he wants them to do. So today as I read this, if you're like, man, my marriage isn't that way, we don't do that. Hey, that's fine. This is the perfect picture. This is God's perfect. This is what we should all pray for. This is what we should all work for, but we shouldn't get discouraged because we're not there. We should be encouraged because we have the ability to get there through God. Right? That's the thing for today. My hope for today and my hope for every week of this series is what I just said. It's hope. This should be a hopeful series, a hope-filled series. I know some of you are here and your spouses aren't. They won't come. And you don't know what to do with that. You don't, but God does. So do not be discouraged today. Be encouraged as you learn steps you can take to move more into what God wants you to do in your marriage or in your dating relationship, and trust God. The one who loved you so much, he gave his son, that he will come around you and he will move the hearts of other people. Today in this series is a series of hope because this song is more wonderful than any other. So as we read, you're going to discover there's a couple things happening. Solomon speaks, Solomon's wife speaks, the queen speaks, and then occasionally there's a chorus who will come in and kind of comment on the action. Today it's just Solomon and his wife. And so we open this book about love with a picture of a normal day in the life of this couple. And the queen speaks first. And here's what she says. Kiss me and kiss me again, for your love is sweeter than wine. How fragrant your cologne, your name is like its spreading fragrance. No wonder all the young women love you. Take me with you. Come, let's run. The king has brought me into his bedroom. I told you it started fast. If you are not familiar with what's happening, let me help. Normal morning, the king getting ready for work, probably brushing his teeth, doing a little shaving, getting dressed. At some point during getting ready for work, his wife looks over at him and she thinks, he looks good. I'm going to do something about it. So she goes over and she says, hey, Solomon, want to go to the bedroom? And he's like, yep. And every man is on board with this series. You're like, yes. No, again, this is the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. And God opens his book about marriage and about love and about romance and about intimacy. He opens the book with a moment of passion. With a moment of just uncontrollable desire for each other. That's how he opens his book. And here's why I think he did that. I think he opened his book because he knew that his book was being written forever. And he knew there was going to come a time where the world was going to say that passion, desire, all those things were not things you could have actually inside marriage and actually committed marriage and lifelong marriage. And oh, by the way, don't ask God about passion because God's a prude and God's not into that. And God's like, hey, guys, calm down. No, none of that. Like, that's just kind of the picture we have of God. And God's like, I don't think so. I'm going to open my book. I'm going to prove to you that's not who I am. I'm the guy who created love to begin with. I created the gift of intimacy. You think I don't want you to enjoy it? Are you crazy? See, here's what I think God's really doing. I think God's opening his book this way because he's trying to dispel that myth for all of us once for all time. What I believe God's doing is God's giving permission for passion. He's saying, no, of course not. That's what I want. I mean, again, let's read it again. Kiss me and kiss me again. She's not just saying, she said, kiss me again. Keep on kissing. Why? For your love is sweeter than wine. It's intoxicating. How fragrant your cologne. Your name is like it's spreading fragrance. You smell good. No wonder all the young women love you. You're so good looking, everybody wants you. Take me with you. Come, let's run. The king has brought me into his bedroom. That is a passionate moment. And this is the beginning of the book. Why? Because God gives permission for passion. Don't ever let anybody tell you God doesn't want you to have passion in your life. Because God gives permission for passion. But more than that and better than that, better than permission, is that God gives the pathway to passion. That's what this book is about. It's about God's pathway to the passionate relationship you desire and he created you to have. But the pathway to God's plan is the opposite of everything we've been taught in our lives. Because what we've been taught when it comes to passion, when it comes to romance, when it comes to intimacy, when it comes to all those things, what we've been taught is you go out and you find what works for you. You go out and you find somebody who woos you and who gets you going and who does what you want. You find those things. You find the perfect fit for you, and then you invite them in as long as they stay perfect. That's what we've been taught. And God's like, hey, guys, come here. Hey. I get that. I hear it. Understand? It's the opposite of that. My plan for you is the opposite of that. My plan is that you find someone that you're willing to pour into and to serve and to honor and to sacrifice for the rest of your life. If you want passion in your life, that's what you must do. See, God gives the pathway to passion, and it's very clear, the pathway to passion is sacrifice. If I could boil down 5 weeks of teaching in one sentence, that's it. The pathway to passion is sacrifice. To choose to love another more than you love yourself. How would we do that? Well, because we serve a God who did that for us. So doesn't it make sense that the way to we get the best in our life is to model the best part of our life, which is God. And so everything we're going to talk about for the next 5 weeks really comes down to that. The pathway to passion is sacrifice. If you are married, sacrifice for each other. If you are not married, do not settle for anything less than this standard for your relationships. Period. So, the queen makes a move on her husband. She says, hey, let's go. He says, okay. And so they go to the bedroom. But as they're on the way to the bedroom, something happens. And our queen continues to speak. Here's what she says. I am dark but beautiful, O women of Jerusalem. Dark as the tents of Kedar. Dark as the curtains of Solomon's tents. She begins to be aware of her physical appearance. She begins to think about it. She begins to become aware of the fact that she is dark. Now, a couple thousand years ago, they were smarter than us. They didn't want to be dark. Like, they didn't get out in the sun and bake themselves for hours and hours. We live at Myrtle Beach. Of course we do. I have friends that go, like, actually go to these little rooms where, like, they have lights that burn your skin, and they pay for it. I'm like, okay, sure. But in Solomon's time, that was a sign of inferiority. That was a sign that you were poor. That was a sign you had to work outside, which she actually says next. She says this. She says, look, don't stare at me because I'm dark. The sun has darkened my skin. My brothers were angry with me. They forced me to care for their vineyard, so I couldn't care for myself. I couldn't care for my own vineyard. See, what's happening is she's revealing a part of herself to her husband. And again, I believe this is all for us so that we can see it. She's revealing an insecurity she has. She is insecure about her physical appearance. She's insecure about the fact that she's with the king. He could have had any woman he wanted, and clearly she wasn't from royal stock. She had to work out in the fields, so she hasn't been able to pamper herself her whole life. So she feels insecure. She feels unattractive to her husband, and she begins to talk about that in real time. She begins to express to him, hey, I'm kind of feeling insecure right now. And then she asks him this question. Then she says, look, tell me, my love, where are you leading your flock today? Where will you rest your sheep at noon? In other words, so where are you going today? What do you have to do? Now, I want to make really clear what's happening. So let's pause for a minute. Solomon's minding his own business. He's getting ready for work. His wife invites him in to a quick romantic encounter, by the best way I can say that, before work. He's like, okay. On the way to said quick romantic encounter, his wife, let's just say, changes her mind or has a mood change. I don't know where that came from, but it's in the Bible. And so mood changes, and she's insecure about it, and so she begins to ask him questions. So what she had originally said was, hey, let's go to the bedroom. And he's like, okay. They get there, and she's like, let's talk. So that's what's happened. Now, before I show you how Solomon handles that, I just quick question for the husbands in the room. What would you do? What would you do in this moment? How would you handle the situation? And don't feel bad about it, because I would probably blow the situation as well. But Solomon does it because this is a perfect picture, but what it's revealing is something so important about love and about marriage, and it's that the pathway to passion is sacrifice. See, here's what happens. Solomon doesn't get mad. Solomon doesn't lose his temper. Solomon doesn't roll his eyes. Solomon isn't passive aggressive. Solomon doesn't huff and puff. Solomon knows the pathway to passion is sacrifice. Sacrifice what I want for what she needs. In this moment, he hears, oh man, she is really struggling with these insecurities. Now, here's what's going to come out later. This isn't new. This is a common thing for his wife. She struggles with her physical appearance. It recurs again and again and again in the Song of Solomon. And again and again and again, he sees it as his job to help soothe and secure her insecurities. He doesn't get frustrated with them. He doesn't say, really, we're doing this again. He steps into that moment. Here's what he says. Look, he says, if you don't know, O most beautiful woman, follow the trail of my flock and graze your young goats by the shepherd's tent. In other words, if you don't know, baby girl, come on with me. Just come hang out. You can spend the whole day with me. I would love it. My entire life is an open book to you. There's nothing for you to be insecure about. There's nothing for you to worry about. Are you kidding me? You're beautiful. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Look what he says. He says, look, he says, you are as exciting, my darling, as a mare among Pharaoh's stallions. Baby girl, you look like a horse. A horse, yeah. Now, what he's really saying is you're as exciting as a mare, a female, among Pharaoh's stallions, males. He's saying, baby, you're so beautiful, all the other women look like dudes compared to you. And he's not done. He says, look, hey, how lovely are your cheeks? Your earrings set them afire. How lovely is your neck, enhanced by a string of jewels? Hey, we'll make for you earrings of gold and beads of silver. Baby, you're so beautiful, and I love you so much, I'm going to get you some more jewelry. He loves his wife. Now, part of this is being silly, but there's a really interesting point here. Solomon, in that moment, saw that his wife was hurting, saw that his wife was struggling, saw that his wife was insecure, and he knew in that moment he had one job, and none of it had to do with what he wanted or needed. All of it had to do with, what does she need right now? God, what can you give me that I can give her to help fix this struggle? See, the pathway to passion is sacrifice. It's putting each other's needs first. Even when you've had the same struggle over and over and over. See, there's something else I think is going on here. I think the fact that she felt safe to share with him the struggle in that moment speaks worlds about their marriage. Because their marriage was open and their marriage was safe. And so she felt free to say, hey, I know I'm the one who said let's go, but man, I'm starting to feel weird. I don't feel that. I'm feeling insecure. I just need to tell you. I need you to know what's going on. I trust you enough to tell you what my struggle is. And the reason she could trust him enough to tell him the struggle is because he had proven himself trustworthy. See, that's the value of sacrifice. See, sacrifice builds trust. Let's be honest. For those of us who are Christians in the room, those of us who do believe in God, when you think about it, one of the major reasons we actually trust God and we believe him and we're like, yes, you're worth following, is because he exhibited for us that he loved us so much he was willing to sacrifice his son on our behalf. That creates a lot of trust. That creates a lot of goodwill. And that's why sacrifice within the confines of marriage is so important, because it builds that trust. Now, let's keep going, because as they're walking, she starts to have some questions. She feels insecure. He sees it as his job to sacrifice what he wants in the moment, to talk to her, to take care of her, to figure out what's going on. He has now spoken over her. She feels better. And this is what happens. They're in the bedroom now, and it says, the king is lying on his couch. He's enchanted by the fragrance of my perfume. Yep, that means what you think it means. And she says this. She says, my lover is like a sachet of myrrh lying between my breasts. He is like a bouquet of sweet henna blossoms from the vineyards of En Gedi. Some of you guys are like, I don't know what a sachet of myrrh is, but I would like to be one. Here's what she's saying. You know what she's really saying? You warmed my heart. Your words, your actions, your love for me, your sacrifice in this moment, you made me feel better. You've soothed my insecurities. Thank you. Hey, single ladies, question. The man you're dating, does he see your insecurities as something to soothe or something to exploit? Only you know the answer. I don't know the answer to that. Your insecurities are wounds. They're battle scars. They're pain. And they're things that our enemy wants to use to keep you down and our God wants to heal. Marriage, I am convinced, is a mechanism through which God heals insecurities. When two people come together, put each other first, love each other, God can move through it to heal insecurities. But it can also be one of the biggest exploiters of insecurities. And so if you're single and if you're dating, and even as you're dating, this person can't put your needs first, and they take your insecurities and they take those things and they take your jealousies and they use them to manipulate you to get you to do what they want you to do. Don't settle for that. Don't settle for anything less than God's best for your life. Don't settle for less than someone that when you share your hurt with you, when you share your pain with them, they see that as an opportunity to step in and provide healing through Jesus. Not as another way to control you and get you to do what they want you to do. You deserve better. And God wants better. And don't settle for anything less. and God's best for your life. So they're in the bedroom. She's feeling good. He's feeling good. He starts talking to her and he says, "How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful. Your eyes are like doves. You look like a horse and a bird." "Oh, I love you so, so much." And then she talks back. She says this. She says, "How handsome are you, my beloved? And so pleasant." That's nice. "Indeed, our couch is luxuriant. The beams of our houses are cedars, our rafters, cypresses." This is really interesting. Here's what starts happening here. So he has been praising her beauty and praising her appearance. She returns the favor, but she doesn't praise just his appearance. She praises his provision. Now, what God's doing here is he's just kind of throwing something in that we can kind of think about later. But he's kind of pointing out, maybe you haven't missed it, men and women are different. You guys know that? Men and women are different. Now, I consider myself woke, so I'm going to try not to make overgeneralizations. I used it right. But in general, women, in general, their number one need from a spouse is security and safety. They need to feel safe in their relationship. They need to feel secure in their relationship. They need to know that everything's going to be okay. A higher need for a man in a romantic relationship is to be admired, is to be appreciated for what they do. So she is admiring and appreciating his provision. "I'm going to be much more difficult on the men than the women because I'm a man and it's safer." But the one question I would ask to the married ladies in the room, does your husband know you admire him? Does he know you appreciate him? That you appreciate how hard he works, that you appreciate his provision. Single ladies, are you dating someone you admire? And if you don't settle for anything less than God's best for your life. Because if you don't admire them when you're dating, it won't magically change when you get married. Because newsflash, you can't fix him. It's not the way it works. So as they're talking, she begins to praise him. And then she kind of explains why this all works. And here's what she says in verse 3. She says, "Look, like the finest apple tree in the orchard is my lover among other young men." She's like, he's better than everybody else. "I sit in his delightful shade and taste his delicious fruit." I sit in his shade. What she's saying is, my husband is so great and he's so wonderful and he provides for me so much and he covers my insecurities that I feel safe with him. I sit under his shade. That means he provides good shade. Now, I don't mean it like the teeners say, like throwing shade. I don't really know what that means, but I think it's negative, so that's not what I mean. I mean, she views her husband as a place of safety, as a place of refuge, and as a place of peace. Husbands, does your wife feel safe to come to you with her fears and with her insecurities and with her doubts? Again. Because I don't know, some men, me, think you should have a discussion, solve the problem, and then the problem is solved. And why do we have to talk about this again? This is done. We solved this years ago. And it's like, well, that ain't how life works, moron. I'm like, well, okay. And let's reverse it. Wives, does your husband know he can come to you with his insecurities? It goes both ways. With his fears, with his doubts. Is it a safe place for him? See, again, that shade, that protection was built from a lifetime of sacrifice. Daily sacrificing for the other person. Daily saying, your needs more valuable than my wants. Your needs more valuable than my personal preferences. You are not here to make me happy. My job is to let God move through me to make you happy, to make you better. That's who God has called me to be. And that's what she's explaining. She's like, look, all this happens because I feel safe with my husband. I feel secure to talk to him. And I feel safe and secure because you've seen he loves me. And he honors me. And he takes care of me. And he doesn't manipulate me. He doesn't exploit my insecurities. And within this context, passion is free to flourish. And then it's as if she knows, hey, we're talking to each other, but there are people who are going to be reading this for thousands of years. So let me step out of the story for a moment and let me make a statement to all the readers, to everybody who's going to hear this truth forever, specifically those who are going to hear this and are single, those who are going to hear this and are not married. And here's what she says. She says, guys, listen, promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. Now, awaken love there is very specifically talking about romantic, sexual intimacy. And what she is saying is do not go down that road until the time is right. Well, how do we know when the time is right? Very clearly, God's been telling us the whole time. Because God gives permission for passion. He wants that time to be right. He wants you to enjoy it. But God gives the pathway to passion. He's saying, look, if you want the best, you've got to walk the walk. You've got to do what I've asked you to do. And the pathway to passion is sacrifice. So in the context of this story, when is the time right? Within the safety, within the security, within the protection, within the covenant of sacrificial love that is sealed in marriage. That, our queen would say, is when the time is right. Because the standard is so high in God's view for love, and so high for that sacrificial love, for that serving each other. That standard can only be met, one, when we have a growing relationship with God ourselves, and when we invite him in to say, hey, move through me to serve this person, this spouse that I've committed to for the rest of my life. Now, today's just the introduction. We've got a lot more to go. But today really was the perfect picture. This is the perfect couple. They loved each other perfectly. If you're single today, I'm just asking you, man, make this your standard. Make God's plan for your life the bare minimum. Don't settle for less. Reach for the best God has for you. And do not awaken love until the time is right. Now, if you're married today, the time is right. And you may feel like the passion in your marriage is gone. Maybe it was a fire at one point. Now it's just burned down to some ashes. But see, I believe that through God, you can rebuild that fire. You can rebuild that passion. I believe it because I've seen it happen. And the pathway to that passion is sacrifice. Not keeping score to see how often they sacrifice for you. The pathway to passion is for you to submit yourself to God and to the other person and say, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes to love you today. I'm going to do whatever it takes to serve you today. And in fact, that's my challenge for today. My challenge today is very simple. Ask God to show you one step you can take every day this week to sacrifice for your spouse. And ask him to give you the discipline to not keep score. To not let it be Thursday and say, you know, I've sacrificed for you four times. You have not sacrificed for me once. Don't do that. Please. Just take a step. Just try it God's way.
And here's another thing I would say. If you're married today, and even listening today, like something stirring in your heart, and like there's some truth to this. Do me a favor right now. Choose to spend the next 5 weeks investing in your marriage. Invest in your marriage by being here. Be here for the next 4 weeks. Yeah, I mean, you can watch it online, I get that, but be here. Experience the music. Experience what God wants you to do. Surround yourself with people who are going through the same things you are. Invest in it, because I am convinced, because I've seen it happen. You invest. You invite God in. Your marriage will get better, which means your family will get better. And your lives will get better, because God is who he says he is, and he only wants the best for your life. Do not settle for anything less. What I would love to do now is I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray over your marriages, and I want to pray over your dating relationships, and I'm going to pray over whatever it is you're searching for. Then we're going to close with a song, and you're going to be dismissed. And I pray as you sing this song that you begin thinking about, if you're married, a step you can take for sacrifice. If you're single today, I want you to really think about the levels of standards you have in your life. And are you lowering them to satisfy someone else? Are you sacrificing what you know is right so someone else will like you? Is someone taking your insecurities and manipulating them? You deserve better than that. God has better for you. Don't settle for less than God's best. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we love you so much. Father, we thank you for just your son. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for this amazing book, this amazing compilation of stories that all tell us about how to be better husbands and better wives. And Lord, we just thank you that you are so clear. And God, I pray right now for every marriage in this room. I pray that you will just begin to solidify their hearts, draw them towards you, draw them towards each other, give them opportunities to serve, opportunities to sacrifice, and may the passion be reignited. Lord, I pray for every person who is single in this room that they will begin to set their eyes on you and not settle for anything less than your best for their life. And in all things, Father, we know this all happens because we give our heart to you. So I pray as we close with this song, I pray you draw our hearts to you, settle them, clarify your next steps, and give us the courage to walk into it. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.